Father in heaven, we just adore you, and you revealed yourself in your creation. Lord, Father, we see it all around us. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for dying on the cross and rising again on the third day, Lord, and saving us, offering salvation to us. We thank you for that. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll be with us in a big way in the room here today, Lord. Hover over us, impact us, help us to figure out our next step. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. My voice is a little gone. And our bluegrass band had a concert Friday. It was just barely coming back for that concert, but the people seemed to be appreciative anyway and very kind. Today, it's back a little bit. Bear with me. I may cough. I'm not sure what's going to happen here, but let's just see how it goes. My name's Joe Underwood. I'm one of your elders on the elder board, and it's a privilege to be here. It's a heavy burden to be here as well. It's something I don't take lightly. Deb will tell you, I probably drove her pretty nuts this week. It's just tens and tens of hours that go into this kind of a preparation. Praise the Lord for Pastor Kyle and the others who come up here just week after week and still keep up with their counseling work and everything else. They just work so hard for us. I want to introduce my lovely wife, Deb, right there. Deb, can you come on now? Stand up. Just for a minute. Yes. Yes. Thank you. I say that, I'm not trying to embarrass her, but when the service is done, if you haven't met Deb, please come down and say hi to Deb. She's such a godly woman, such a great wife, and I just want you to get to know her if you haven't met her yet. And my dear, dear sweetheart granddaughter, Grace, I won't make you stand up, honey. This is Grace Underwood right here beside Deb. And she just had the sweetest thing for me before I came up here. She said, Grandpa, just imagine that you're speaking to us right here. And you know, it's family. Oh, what a sweetheart for telling me that. Okay, now I'm coming to tears. Yeah. Going to be more. I also want to say welcome to everyone online. Believe it or not, people here at Grace Point, I know we're being watched right now in Africa. So, hello, Apollo. Other places as well. Some people in Wisconsin are watching. People in Cortland, New York are watching. So there's people that tune in online and can glean from the scriptures. Pastor Kyle may even be watching. He wrote me this morning and said he was praying for me. I want to say, first of all, let me just start out by saying, men, happy Honor America Days, 250, yes. We're in the middle of that period from Flag Day to July 4th, and so I'm sure you woke up this morning and that was on your mind. So, happy Honor America Days. And but you thought I forgot. No. Happy Summer Solstice Day. Yes, that's today. Happy last day of spring. Happy first day of summer. But really, I know, seriously, happy longest daylight day of the year. Yes, that's today. Man, there's a lot to be happy about around here. It's also, by the way, happy National Smoothie Day. So fathers can have a healthy lunch. It's Happy Go Skateboarding Day. Now, you might know I'm not going to recommend that to you. It's Happy National Selfie Day for the vanity in all of us. So take a selfie today. But, oh yes, happy Father's Day to you. As Josh mentioned, we have a treat on your way out. Make sure you take advantage of that. And I have a suggestion later in the message for the perfect Father's Day gift for you to give to your father. And it's not too late. I'll tell you about that more later. But you know, as I get going here, I need to confess. This week I got just a little bit off track on the scriptures. I need to confess that to you. I normally get up and we have morning chores. Deb does some things, I'm doing other things, and normally I make the coffee. And I, one day, was just feeling so under the weather this week, I didn't get up in time to make the coffee. So Deb sweetly made coffee for me and brought it to me, and then she sweetly reminded me that she had just begun studying in the book of Hebrews. not Shebrews. Hebrews, she said. So I took that hint, and I'm back on to brewing the coffee for us again. A little bit of humor, and a little bit of humor is a good thing to have. We come together today, and we should have some joy and show joy to others, but some of us have difficulty being full of joy. The truth is that many of us in this room may have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. We know that for sure. You could come up here and show me in the Scriptures why you're on your way to heaven for sure and your sins are forgiven. So there's no question, but you're still terribly weighed down with residual guilt from past sins. That's the first group of people that I want to talk about today, or talk to here today. You know Jesus as your Savior, but you're weighed down with guilt. Think of guilt as a heavy weight, as a bag that we have to carry all the time. Maybe even from years ago, you're thinking, I did this, I did that. What am I going to do about it now? How do I get relief from this weight that I'm carrying? My conscience keeps telling me, sometimes with every heartbeat I hear, guilty, guilty, guilty. By the way, that was part of Pastor Blasco's testimony. If you ever heard him give it here, he was the pastor before Pastor Kyle, until he was saved. But if you are saved and you're hearing guilty, 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 that's an unhealthy conscience that's working on you as a believer in Christ. Once we trust Christ, the Lord sets us free completely. As you can see in this slide, a clear conscience. And Jesus says in John 8:36, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." And in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews tells us, "Therefore he, Jesus, is also able to save forever those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." To show the weight that I'm talking about of a condemning conscience of guilt on a believer, let me switch to a football analogy here. Take your favorite team. I won't mention the Ohio State Buckeyes. Oh, I just did. Okay. Imagine if I were to pick up two 40-pound bags of water softener salt, one in each arm. I can still do that, but just barely these days. And then I was told to go out on the football field and take the kickoff and catch it and run it back for a touchdown. I doubt if there would be anyone in here who would think I could catch that ball, tuck it under my arm, run down the field and score on that play. In fact, the coach would probably what? Bench me. He'd bench me or sideline me after that play. They'd be like, "What are you doing, Joe? Get off the field." Now remember, it's an analogy, and the weight of that water softener salt is analogous to my burden of guilt that I carry with me. It's a condemning conscience that keeps reminding me of that. And if I'm weighed down like that in my spiritual life, then Satan's team has me right where they want me, off the spiritual playing field, so to speak. Here are some symptoms of that situation of being weighed down. You can kind of see, does this apply to me? I know Jesus is my Savior, but I'm weighed down with guilt. In that case, I might not see nor take opportunities to look around me and see people who need to know the Lord and to share with them about salvation in Jesus. I might delay in coming down to see Pastor Brendan and say, "Hey, I need to join a Connect group. I need to be baptized. I want to become a member. I want to host the Connect group. I want to make coffee. I want to greet people. I want to be a security team. I want to work in the parking lots. I want to pray for the Room for More project. I want to pray for the children of the church." You're just stalled. You're not doing those things. By the way, as an aside, let me flip the name over here. Would you please empty the hallway of these after the message today? Angela, I just discovered these last week. Angela has put in the children's wing a prayer card, and there'll be a name attached. I grabbed one last week. And you can grab one of these so that every child in our children's ministry is being prayed for. And she tells you some specific things to do. Take more than one. You're a grandparent. Maybe you have six grandkids. Take six of them. Let's empty that board, please. Shame on us if we don't pray for these children. She tells you even what to pray for here. So please go down that wing and grab one of these cards or more on the way out of here. I just want to mention that to you. That's one of the things you can do to help move the ministry along at Grace Point, is to pray for those children. Now, if that spiritual weight that you have comes from a condemning conscience, it's probably the case that I'm going to feel unworthy to get back in the game. I'm going to feel like I can't use my gifts for the Lord and tell others about Jesus. Erwin Lutzer once wrote this: a condemning conscience is the devil's playground. Surely Satan's playground brings him great joy, while surely it also brings you great sorrow. I know Jesus, but my conscience keeps plaguing me. I know I'm forgiven, but what should I do now about all those things in my past? Your conscience volume control may be turned up a little too high. It swamps out your scriptural thinking, and it blocks you from moving forward for Jesus. About a year ago, I found myself slipping back into a pattern of thinking about sins of my past and realizing there was nothing now that could be humanly done to rectify the situation. I shared this thinking with Deb, of course, and she encouraged me. I shared it with the elder board at one of our meetings. They were also encouraging, but I thought, surely the Lord might want me to talk about this sometime in case there may be others here who are in that same ailment. But since then, Deb and I have actually had the chance to speak with some of you who are in the same boat, so to speak, with us. You're stalled in your next step for the Lord because your past sinful life is still plaguing you, even though you've trusted the Lord. You feel unworthy to move forward. One dear couple here wanted to become members in the best way possible, but they were just weighed down with the guilt that they bore. Friday night, by the way, and I shared this with my dear brother Gary before the service. He was up here praying with me, bless his heart. The Lord allowed me once again to, it was very unusual, I think supernatural. I don't claim that very often. I woke up Saturday morning feeling once again the burden of my sin. Heavy. Heavy. I think he did that on purpose. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4 says, I'll paraphrase, an Underwood paraphrase here, the Lord allows us to go through things. It's the grief share people know. This is one of our favorite verses. The Lord allows us to go through things so that we can relate to others going through the same thing, so that we can share the comfort we've received from God. That's my paraphrase of it. And I believe that was coming into play yesterday morning. It diminished after a while, but I shared it with Deb. I literally woke up being crushed. I think it was to help me, to remind me what Jesus did for me and what some of you still burden under each day. Sophocles was a Greek playwright, and he wrote, there's no witness so terrible and no accuser so powerful as conscience which dwells within us. So some of you may be in that first group of people I want to direct this message to, and you think your sins are too evil for Jesus to fully forgive them. You need to keep mulling them over in your mind, but I want to tell you there's nothing at all that you can do humanly to clear the sin record in your mind. Why? Well, the business you wronged long ago is out of business. You can't go back and fix that. The sin you did to someone cannot even be discussed. That person has passed away. I hesitate to say, but an abortion, maybe a murder of an infant, may still plague you. There's no turning back from that one. But the Lord welcomes you. The Lord forgives all of our sin. I want you to know that. You're welcome here. But you're in a category then that I call saved but sidelined. There's a second group of people here that I want to speak to. In your case, you're here today, but you may not even know why you're here today. Maybe you came to see me for some odd reason. You did join us today for some reason, though. Maybe somebody invited you, a friend invited you. And I want you to know that there's hope in Christ. You know, John Piper once wrote this: all peace inwardly and peace outwardly is based on this vertical experience of, do I have peace with God? Is it open and clear with God? Are we friends? I want to answer you. You won't be friends with God unless you come through Christ. We're going to talk more about that. Your conscience is still working somewhat, though, at this point, if you're here and you're not saved and you're here because you have no peace, because you have no peace with God. So your conscience is still working, and that's a good thing. We'll talk about that here in a minute, too. You have no real spiritual interest. You're not trusting in the Lord for salvation. You don't know it. But by not trusting in Jesus for salvation, you're still on your way to hell. I don't like to say that. I don't like to dwell on that, but it's true. And it's Jesus who taught us this, that hell is the default destination for us all unless we trust in Jesus for salvation. We don't want to take it lightly. Every one of us in this room is a criminal in the eyes of God. We've all sinned, so we're all criminals, Christians and non-Christians alike. We've all been on this path to hell at one point, unless you've trusted Christ and gotten off of it. So we've all been on it. Let me read through a few verses here for you. In the Bible, in Romans, it tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's everyone, all of us in the room. Indeed, in Ecclesiastes, in the Old Testament, they even talked about this. There's not a righteous man on earth who continually does good and who never sins. And then, horrifyingly, for the wages of sin is death. The payment you're going to receive for sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So he tells you the punishment, and then he tells you, I have a gift for you. I've paid that price if you'll come to me. We're going to talk about this. You see, Jesus is making it clear that unless we find a way off that path, we're doomed. Well, back to the second group of people for a minute. You have not trusted Christ yet, but you're here. The Lord wrote those verses for you to consider and understand that you have a chance even today to trust Jesus for salvation. Your conscience volume control may be turned too low in your case. You may be getting to a point where you're just barely hearing it anymore. When you cheat on your taxes, offer to do cash jobs at a discount because you're not going to report the income, accept too much change from a cashier because, well, that's their mistake, that's not your mistake. When you lie, cheat, steal, lust, gossip, overeat, commit adultery, whatever, they're all sins. And they can all be forgiven through Christ. But you're also right where Satan wants you to be. If you're unsaved, Satan's team is very happy. You're off the playing field of Christianity. You're already on your way to hell. And so you're not going to be telling others how to get off that path. I'm talking about a path here, so let's take a look at a picture. I used this slide in another message here a year or two ago. I don't know when it was. I thought it was just so good. I wrote to the author, and I got permission to use it. Look at this verse. Wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And I want you to take a look at that. You see a mass of people there headed toward that beautiful gate, all lit up beautiful. But in the back, you kind of see it looks like a fire back there. It is. It's the fires of hell. And all of humanity is marching to this gate unless you see life out in the field represented by the cross. And a narrow gate you have to come through. And you can see there's not very many people finding it. These are Jesus' words. They're not my words. But I thought the picture really showed it very, very well. You see that there's just a few people finding life, but a lot of people on that broad road to destruction. But the Holy Spirit can draw you to that gate even here today. Let's look at another verse. Jesus was very specific when he said this. He was speaking to you in John 14:6. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No matter what you've done, no matter what you've thought, no matter what you've said, all of those things can be sinful, but Jesus is waiting and listening to you today. He's the only way to heaven, and he welcomes you to come. So this next category title, remember I said there's two categories of people here. It may seem a little hard-hitting, but I don't mean it. Well, yeah, maybe I do. You're in a category called squandered and nearly seared. A nearly seared conscience is a state of moral decay, insensitivity, where an individual no longer feels guilt, remorse, or conviction for the sinful, unethical behavior. It develops from repeatedly ignoring one's moral compass, leading to a calloused heart that is completely unresponsive to right and wrong. I really thought artificial intelligence got that right. I dug that out. I said, yeah, it's correct at this point. It follows some scriptures, which I'll show you here in a few minutes. But the really good news is you're here today, and that's evidence that you're not yet completely seared in your conscience. The Lord has you here for a reason. But spiritually speaking, you have lived separated from God when you could have been working for Him and with Him. That's why I say you've squandered some years of your life. Also, your conscience volume is turned down too low. One more notch lower, and it may be ineffective in calling you to turn to Jesus to save you. The Bible refers to this conscience as being seared, as I defined for you. In 1 Timothy 4, you see, now the Spirit explicitly says that in later times, some will depart from the faith, paying attention to the deceitful spirits and the teaching of demons through the hypocrisy of liars whose consciences are seared. This verse is speaking of a person whose conscience has shut down so much, they're actually speaking out and teaching against God. Romans 1:28 tells us, and because they did not think it worthwhile to acknowledge God, God delivered them over to a worthless mind to do what is morally wrong. This verse is speaking about non-teachers, just like you and I here today. It's about people who continue in sin without turning to God. And eventually God can just say, I'm done with you. He doesn't desire that. We'll see that in a minute. But you may be perilously close to an edge of no return where God won't call you any longer. Don't let this happen. So when God draws you today, you need to quickly respond without hesitation. Deb helped me find this one. Here's what God says about responding quickly. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. And then look at this. 2 Peter, the Lord does not delay His promise, as some understand delay, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. If you're hearing His voice today, even slightly, don't harden your heart. Be quick to respond. God doesn't want you to perish. He tells you how to avoid it in the Bible. Repent and turn to Jesus. Like other parts of your body, though, a conscience can be healthy or it can be unhealthy. I'm just going to kind of zoom through healthy conscience. Why? Because we don't even need any slides. Because we all know how it works. We've experienced it since childhood. First, let's talk about people who have trusted Christ. A healthy conscience for that person works like this. So you know you're on your way to heaven, but you sin because we're sinners and we sin. Your conscience alerts you to what you did. Confess your sin to the Lord. Make it right with the person you've wronged if possible. Your slate is clear at that point. Go get back in the game. What's your next step for Christ? Get baptized. Become a member. Host a group. Pray for Angela's kids. Work in VBS. Pick up the banner and go for the Lord. Now let's consider a healthy conscience for a person who has not yet trusted Christ. It starts sort of the same way, except you're not saved. You're on your way to hell. You sin, because we all sin. Your conscience alerts your mind to the fact that you've sinned. You're still hearing guilty, guilty, guilty. This is all everyday knowledge. But I'll help you with your next steps. If your conscience and your mind is healthy, you'll take note of the scriptures today and you'll turn to Jesus and you'll confess your sins and you can have new life in Christ. So if you're here today and you've not come to Jesus for salvation, then a healthy conscience, once you're saved, will start to tell you, forgiven, forgiven, forgiven. Okay, that's healthy consciences. How do you know if you have an unhealthy conscience? Well, let's look at the group of people who are saved but sidelined. Let's look at this verse at the bottom. This is a great one to know. As far as the east is from the west. You know, the Lord's so perfect in what he says, isn't he? He didn't say north to south. If he had said north to south, it's about, oh my goodness, I'm going to guess 5,000 miles, 8,000, I don't know. There's some distance there, right? North to south. He said east to west. There is no distance. It's just infinite, you know. There's no point east and west. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. But as Christians, we just don't believe in that. In the eyes of the Lord, though, your sins are gone. They should not be retained by you. You understand that Christ died for your sins. You understand he rose again on the third day. But you don't move forward. You're not taking those next steps. You're plagued by memories. My diagnosis is you've got a faith that needs strengthening. You're lacking the belief that Jesus completely forgives, even the most horrible of sins. You're sidelined, and Satan is no doubt pleased. You're right where he wants you to be. The prescription for this state is to get in the Word, believe what it says, and get back in the game. Now, if you happen to be taking notes, just forget it for a minute. We're going to zoom kind of quickly through a few slides here. I kind of want you to just see these. If you want a copy of these slides, I'll be glad to give you a PDF file. Just come see me after the service. First, let's look at a quote from Erwin Lutzer and a verse from the Apostle John. Erwin said, "You can know that it is Satan accusing you. This is very good for you as Christians. It's not the Lord. It wasn't the Lord waking me up on Saturday morning and pounding on my heart." Well, in this case, it may have been. I'm sorry. He may have been wanting me to refresh that feeling, right? But if you're suffering with that day after day, that's not the Lord doing that. You know it's Satan when you feel the need to repeatedly confess your sins because you have no assurance of having been heard the first time. And then look at 1 John 1:9. This is what the Lord tells us through John. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and still just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's look at another slide. Another quote from Erwin, one of my favorite pastors and authors. "In the end, forgiven sin has only as much power as we let it have, or as much power as we let Satan have with it. We may experience some of the old guilt, but we must respond by affirming God has spoken on the matter, and I believe his word." One more slide from Erwin, I think this one is. "For a born-again believer, Satan's primary weapon against us is our guilt. Our primary weapon against him is the assurance of our complete forgiveness." Amen? The book of Hebrews tells us, "Therefore he," speaking of Jesus, "is able to completely save those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for us." He's always living to intercede for you. If Satan throws an accusation against you in heaven, Jesus is there to intercede for you. He saves you completely. He intercedes for you. You shouldn't hang on to these sins. One final rapid-fire slide here. This is from Chuck Swindoll. "For a born-again believer," this is so good, "by saying we cannot forgive ourselves," brothers and sisters who are doing this, "we have just elevated our judgment above the Lord's." We think we know better than he does. Yet what right do we have to hang on to something that God released? Well, now you can pick your pen back up if you are taking notes. I don't mean to presume that you're taking notes from me, but if you are, we're going to spend a little bit of time on this. This next slide goes into the second group of people I call squandered and nearly seared, a very dangerous place to be. An unhealthy conscience for someone in this boat is your conscience is barely noticeable. You've shown no interest in recognizing your sin or confessing it to God or asking for forgiveness, you may be only barely aware of it. You're possibly in danger of no longer being able to hear God. But Jesus wants to give you new life today. We just read that verse. If you're lost and you don't even know it, you're on that default path that none of you want to be on. We saw going to those bright gates to hell. At this point, you've squandered your life from an eternal perspective, and Satan is very pleased. You're right where he wants you to be. The prescription is you need to listen today to the Word of God, these verses, and you need to turn to Jesus to take away your sins. I've given you verses here today to show you what God has spoken. You've seen the way to make sure you're on your way to heaven and your sins are forgiven. Jesus can clear your conscience and you can begin a new life in Christ. I'm talking to Christians and non-Christians there because I know that some of you are sidelined because of your guilt and you need to get back on the playing field. So I want to make these comments to you first. You need to get off the sideline. I'm trusting the Lord has shown you something here that will help you today. And the Holy Spirit is with us. And He can teach you, like He showed me on Saturday morning, the weight of that guilt that some of you bear. Your conscience needs to be cleared and your mind renewed in Christ. Again, my Saturday morning weight of guilt on me was done for your benefit. I'm convinced. I can talk to you one-on-one about that if you want after the service, because I've experienced it. Now I want to make some comments to other friends here who are visiting. You've not yet trusted Christ. You have not yet trusted Christ. You still bear the sins of your past. Your conscience might bear witness against you, even if it's nearly seared. You saw in the scriptures here today, those sins demand a death penalty. But you saw that Jesus is waiting for you to turn to Him. He can pay that sin debt for you. You can have a new life in Christ and a freshly cleared conscience. You no longer need to hear, as Pastor Blasco once heard, guilty, guilty, guilty. But by trusting Christ, you can immediately begin to hear, forgiven, forgiven, forgiven. In a few minutes, I'm going to pray to close us out. I won't keep you very much longer. And I'll just pray that you leave here as a new person in Christ, as you've already heard in this service. But first, I've asked Ryan, if he would, to come back and bring the band back up for one more song. Unusual here, not that they would come back, but they're just so gracious. I didn't mean that. But in an unusual move, I'm asking you not to sing this. Just listen. And think about the words, if you will. I'm hoping this song will minister to you and me while you think about what you've seen and heard here today. I was here before the service. I was so blessed to already hear this song. And I couldn't get through it. I hope it impacts you. Is there an action you need to take today? Well, one thing you can do is pray for me that I'll be able to speak when I get back up here. I'm going to sit down and let them sing, and then I'll be back up, and I won't hold you very long. I still need to tell you about that Father's Day gift, too. I'll be back.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, worship you. That I
Day gift for our Heavenly Father. Nothing could be a better gift for Him today than for Christians to lay down these heavy bags of guilt, enable you to move faster on the playing field, so to speak. And for you here today who have not yet trusted Jesus as your Savior, to come to Christ right now. I'm going to lead you in a prayer to close us. And I want you to know that He's waiting for you. He's listening for you. We ask the Holy Spirit to be here today. And so I know He's drawing you to Him. It's very simple. I'm going to ask you to pray. And then a little uncharacteristically, I'm going to ask you to respond. But it's going to be very easy. Not like it was for Christ, who was beaten and stripped naked and marched up a hill to die for my sins. I'm only going to ask you to respond by looking up at me. Very simple. With heads bowed and eyes closed. So I'll be the only one seeing. But I just pray right now that you would join me in these prayers. First, I want to pray for the first category of people who are saved but sidelined with heavy burdens that you should not be carrying. I'm going to ask you to pray with me. if you know the Lord, say, Heavenly Father, I've carried this burden. And you said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Father, I come to you with this bag of burden, and I want to just lay it down at the cross. I don't want it to plague me anymore, Lord. I don't want to hear guilty, guilty, guilty. Father, help me, and I will, as best I know how, believe your word that you have forgiven these sins, and I will not let them plague me. I will not let Satan have that way with me. Please, Lord, enable that in Jesus' name. And with your head still bowed and your eyes closed, because that's a key, I'm going to look to your far left in this section. If you prayed that prayer to get rid of that bag of burden, if you could just glance up to me, I'm only looking over to the left. Okay, yes? 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 Praise the Lord. I'm coming over. One more section, just to the left of the center aisle. Anyone here? You can see I'm not calling out your name. Yes, praise the Lord. Yes. Yes, many people. Yes, in this section. One more. One to the right of the middle aisle. Anyone in this section? Yes, praise the Lord. Anyone? Yes. Thank you. Several people in this section. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Let's go clear to your right and in the very back. Clear to your right in the very back. You just have to glance at me. Anyone over here? Yes. Thank you. In the back, yes. Thank you. Praise the Lord Jesus. Okay, thank you for that. I want us to continue praying with our heads bowed now. There may be some here who don't know you, Lord. I pray that you would encourage them to trust you now. And if you're here today and you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, or you're not sure, it's a very simple thing to do. I want you to just pray along with me. Father in heaven, thank you for bringing me here today. You can just repeat this to yourself. Father, I know you sent Jesus to live and die on the cross to pay for my sins. I understand he rose on the third day. My sins are unbearable, Lord. Save me. As best I know how, I want to cast my sins on Jesus. I want to follow you, Jesus, every day of my life. Help me to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, with your head still bowed, I'm going to do the same thing. It's a simple thing. I'm going to look clear to your left. Anyone in this section? Anyone in this section trust Christ today? We may have some, we may not. I'm not discouraged either way. Yes? Yes, one. Next section over, one to the left of the middle aisle. Just glance up at me if today's the day that you trusted the Lord. Okay. Let's go one aisle to the right of the middle aisle. One section to the right, I mean. Anyone here trust the Lord today? Yes. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. The Lord has saved some today. Let's go all the way to the right and in the back. I'll look over these sections. I'll start over here to the right. Anyone today trust the Lord? You have the scriptures. You know what to do. Yes, I see one. Thank you. In the back. Yes, in the back. Yes. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we could get together and share some smiles at first and a simple joke, and then to get serious and hear your word, Lord. And Holy Spirit, you've enabled us to respond to it in a big way today. We just thank you for that. Thank you for the band and how they came back to add to the service again. Thank you for your word here. Lord, bless these people. Bless them as they head out. Those online, Lord, bless them too. If they trusted Christ, bless them too. Or if they got rid of their burden bag, bless them, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And happy summer solstice. Happy Father's Day. God bless you.